At this point, I'll just give you some of the necessary announcements for the week in the will of the Lord as follows. Tuesday evening is off. We have planned to begin what we are calling the May Mem, the distribution of literature in the district here, tracts and the booklet telling something about the church here and our history and introducing ourselves and all the rest of it. But that has now been called off until the following Tuesday. So we are beginning then Tuesday the 10th. That is Tuesday week. Keep that in mind. We're hoping to start commencing leaving here at about 7:30. Ladies' meeting is on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. And the special speaker at the ladies' meeting will be Callum Webster from the Christian Institute. So ladies, remember that meeting Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Thursday at 8 is our assembly prayer meeting. And again, I would remind everybody of our prayer meeting on Thursday evening, 8 p.m. Much to pray for in these days. Friday at 10 a.m. in the morning is the Mums and Tots. And then also on Friday evening is the BYF commencing at 8:15. Remember Saturday, 2 p.m., the men who go out onto the street. Remember that, 2 p.m. on Saturday. And then the meeting's next Lord's Day, 11 a.m. and 7. And we hope that our pastor will be back with us for both meetings next Lord's Day. Also next Lord's Day, Sunday school will be a special day, special family day and prize giving next Lord's Day at 3 p.m. And the special speaker for the boys and girls in the Sunday school special family day will be Mr. Andy Lovell. Will be along to speak to the boys and girls. I think that's all the necessary announcements, and as I've said, made in the will of the Lord. Now, we have no soloists this evening, or no singers. We're going to sing another hymn. And we're going to sing the great hymn. If you were to ask me what my favorite hymn is, I couldn't tell you. There's so many great hymns. If you ask me what my favorite gospel hymn is, I might just say it's this one. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. This is a great hymn. Let's stand to sing this hymn before we sing. Thank you. That hymn was written as a poem. The title of the poem was Praise for the Fountain Open. And the second verse, I sometimes think to myself, you know, it was just penned a little bit differently than how we sing it. They die in faith, rejoice to see that fountain in his day, and it was penned, and there have I, as vile as he. In the affirmative, there have I. We sing it in the gospel, and there may I, because that's the possibility for each and every one in the meeting. There may I, as vile as he. But not everybody has. But William Cowper penned it, there have I. Many of us can sing, there have I, as vile as he, washed all our sins away. May I trust that those in this evening, in the meeting tonight, that may, that they will, and that they seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near. I'm reading this evening from John's Gospel, please, and chapter 10. John's Gospel, please, chapter 10. And we commence verse 7. John 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We'll end our reading at verse 30, and we pray that the Lord will bless the reading of Holy Scriptures again this evening. I came home from work many years ago. I wasn't married, I was still at home. Came into the yard at home, thought I'd park in the yard at the back. But there was a flock of sheep corralled in the yard. And it was a spring summer evening. And there was a man there to shear the sheep. I hadn't seen or watched sheep being sheared since the junior high school days when we went to Balmoral Show on a school trip. So I stood and watched the sheep being sheared. And as I was watching, then I watched another one. Then I watched another one. And as I was watching this man shear these sheep, there formulated in my mind a picture of salvation. And I was watching him shear the sheep. He rolled up that fleece into a little bundle, and then he just discarded it. And he just sort of flung it to one side. And I was thinking of Pastor Harvey Shaw one evening when he came to the prize night for boys and girls, and he got all the kids around his feet. And it was comical to watch this big, tall man in amongst all these children. And they loved them. And Harvey was getting them to sing, "Rolled away, rolled away, the burden of my heart rolled away." But then he would get them to say, he wanted them to shout something, and never came back. So he had them all shouting at the top of their voices. Rolled away, the burden of my heart rolled away, and never came back. And as I was watching the sheep being sheared, and watching that fleece being flung away, I thought to myself, what a picture of the burden of sin being removed, rolled away, and then flung away to one side, discarded. Thinking how you know sin's forgiven. God payment cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding surety's hand and then again at mine. Once your sins are forgiven, they're gone. The fleece never went back on the sheep's back. It's rolled away. And as Harvey was getting the boys and girls to shout, he was teaching them a great truth, you know. Never came back. I was thinking of Isaiah 38. Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, concerning the forgiveness of sins, he said he has cast all sins behind thy back. In Micah chapter 7, the prophet Micah says, "Thou wilt cast all sins into the depths of the sea." In Jeremiah 31, it says that Jehovah says, I will forgive their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. But there's a lovely verse in Colossians chapter 2. And it says there that we have been forgiven all trespasses and he has blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. And all that was contrary to us, he has taken out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Blotted out. Sins cast behind thy back. The idea there is that they're out of sight. Sins cast into the depths of the sea. Well, they're out of reach. Sins and iniquities will I remember no more. They're out of mind. But Colossians 2 talks about blotted out. They're out of existence. It's not there. The record is gone. A picture of salvation and the forgiveness of sins. I say that I say that tonight because I think that's what we have read tonight in John's Gospel, chapter 10. I think you could say in the verses that we have read tonight, the whole theme of what we have read tonight is salvation by the true shepherd. Salvation by the true shepherd. This evening, I just want to draw a couple of things to your attention as I see in this passage. I just want us to home in a little bit, just for a moment or two, on the person he is, the good shepherd. I think it's important that we know just exactly who he is. The person he is, the people he saves, the price he paid, and the provision and salvation he offers. When John presents the Lord Jesus Christ in his gospel, he presents him, brings before us, he presents him as the Son of God. Matthew, he says, the gospel of the King. Mark, the servant. Luke, the Son of Man. And John, he's the Son of God. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. Galatians 4:4. Made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those that were under the law. It's interesting in Luke's gospel that Luke, he uses over 2,000 words to describe the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world. All the details that we have concerning and around the Christmas story, so much of it is taken from Luke. The events that took place at the birth of the Lord Jesus in Luke, over 2,000 words. John uses just 4. John says the Word became flesh. John goes way back beyond Bethlehem. John begins and says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And then he says, and the Word became flesh, and dwelt amongst us. We beheld his glory. Even the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The one who is the good shepherd of this passage is, as we were thinking this morning, the only begotten Son of God. We were thinking this morning, I was thinking of Hebrews 1, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Psalm 2. The good shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ has come and he has been contending with the Jewish leaders. They sought to stone him in just the previous chapter, the end of chapter 8. He's contending again with them in chapter 9. Then he makes this tremendous declaration, I am the good shepherd. Good shepherd. There were other shepherds of Israel. They weren't good. Indeed, if you go back to Ezekiel 34, we read there again where God charges the shepherds, for the poor shepherds of Israel. He charges them with neglecting the flock. False shepherds, poor shepherds. Ah, but in this chapter here, John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's important, you know. That's important to stress this point, that neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Salvation in a person. Ah, but no ordinary person. Salvation in the person of God's only begotten Son. One so worthy, majestic sweetness. No mortal can with him compare, the hymn writer says. No mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. One so willing. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Though I come when the volume of the book is written of me to do thy will. And so the Savior of sinners is none other than the only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This verse says, I am the good shepherd, verse 11. The good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. We come back to that. Let's think for a moment of the people that he saves. The people he saves. Verse 9. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I like that little phrase. Any man. Any man, woman, boy and girl in our meeting tonight. Enter in for salvation. He's the door. He's the way, the truth, and the life. John 14. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Salvation in a person. The one and only way. I am the door. By me, if any man open the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. Similar, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I will come in to him, sup with him, he with me. It's the gospel of the whosoever will. Tonight I look over this congregation. I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. A message unto you I bring. Message unto you I give. It is recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It's only that you look and live. And the message is this. That any can enter in. The people he saves. You remember that story in Luke's Gospel 14. This great man, he made a feast, sent out the invitations. And so many made excuses. Bought a piece of land. Can't come. Bought 10 yoke of oxen. Go to prove them. Can't come. Just married a wife. Can't come. And the word came back. There's yet room. Go into the streets and lanes. And bring in the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. The invitation of the gospel is like that, to the whosoever will. Regardless of who you are tonight. Regardless of who you are. Paul talks about color. We sing with the boys and girls. Red and yellow, black and white. In Northern Ireland we can add a couple of other colors. They're not excluded. Color. Class, creed, culture, continent. To the whosoever will. The message of salvation. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, any man or woman entering in shall be saved. In David's day, in the cave of Adullam, it says that everyone in distress came to him. And those in debt, they came to him. Those that were discontent, they came to him. Oh, a great wide variety of people came to him. So it is. Great difference in background and all the rest of it. Doesn't matter. There's salvation. Vast, full and free, and offered to all. I was saying earlier, neither is there salvation in any other. Paul writes to Timothy and says, for there is but one God and one mediator between God and men. The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. He gave himself a ransom for you. He gave himself a ransom for all. Tonight we preach, whosoever will may come. In Ezekiel 34, I mentioned it earlier, God charges the rulers of that day, the kings, the religious rulers and civic and religious rulers of that day, of poor shepherding. He says, you haven't sought the lost. And you haven't searched for the driven away. And you haven't searched for the broken. And you haven't been concerned with the sick or the diseased. And God says, I will be a shepherd unto them. And I will seek the lost. And I will search for the driven away. And I will bind up the broken. And I will care for the sick and the dying and the diseased. No greater disease tonight than sin. Sin is marred and sin is ruined. And sin finishes with death. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I wonder, is there one here tonight and your life has been destroyed by sin? Your life has been marred and ruined by sin. And tonight maybe you're broken. Maybe physically broken. Maybe mentally scarred, emotionally scarred, broken. Maybe you're ill tonight. Maybe a life of living in excess of some sin or other has you destroyed. The Lord specializes in binding up the broken. We sing a little chorus, heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch, what I long for. Lovely hymn says, he, in tenderness he sought me. In tenderness he sought me. Weary and sick with sin, and on his shoulders brought me back to his fold again. He saw me bruised and dying, and he poured in oil and wine. And he whispered to assure me, I found thee, thou art mine. I never heard a sweeter voice. Cause my aching heart rejoice. Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. Oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold. There's one tonight. And he reaches out in grace. And it doesn't matter who you are tonight, or what sin you might be involved in, or how deep in sin you might be in. There's one tonight who's willing and able to see it to the uttermost. I was stressing earlier, verse 30, I and my Father are one. He's the Son of God. In Matthew 11:28, he says, with arms outstretched, surely come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In Isaiah 45, he says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. And tonight the message of the gospel is that there's one who's willing to say it. I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You're not saved tonight. Why not? You've never entered in. You've heard the gospel before. You maybe know it so well you could preach it yourself. Why are you not saved? You never entered in, never taken that step. The person he is, the people he saves, a number of the verses that we read in this passage, we read of the price that he paid. Salvation for us is free. That doesn't mean it was without cost. All salvation is free for all. But there's one that has already paid the price. We love to sing, don't we? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. The price that he paid. I am the good shepherd, he says. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. It required the giving of a virtuous life. That's why I stressed at the beginning who he is. God's only Son, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He knew no sin. He did no sin. In him was no sin. He lays down that life. The righteous one. The pure and the holy one. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Life. Good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Mrs. Alexander was right when she penned, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven. Let us then, a virtuous life was laid down in order to make salvation possible. Verse 15, it says this, and I lay down my life for the sheep. For the sheep. That would cause us to consider that it was his laying down of his life was vicarious. That just means in the place and in the stead of another. It was for the sheep. He didn't die on the cross, you know, for his own sin. The thief on the cross declared, this man has done nothing amiss. Pilate said, I find no fault in him at all. And his wife said, have nothing to do with this just man. And Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, he came back with the 30 pieces of silver and he said, I don't want any further part in the innocent blood. Innocent blood. And yet this is a life that has been laid down. And the Savior died on Calvary's cross, not for his own sin. All our sin laid upon him. And Jesus bore them on the tree. And God who knew them led them on him and believing we go free. He bore our sin in his own body upon the tree. A virtuous life and a vicarious death. I lay down my life for the sheep. In our stead. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Salvation is possible for you this evening. Because one has died in your place. and the punishment, that punishment for sin that we deserved. Jesus has paid it all. Verse 18, it says, I lay it down of myself. It was voluntary. He says, I lay it down of myself. Man, take that from me. I lay it down of myself. Verse 18. Verse 17, I think it is also victorious. In verse 17, he's able to say, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. There's only one who can pay the price of our redemption. We were reminded this morning. Redeemed, not with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. What a sacrifice he made. What a price he paid. John in his gospel, I sometimes think in chapter 19 he provides some details the others don't concerning the Savior when he died on the cross. It's John that says he died on a cedar tree in the midst, on either side one, Jesus in the midst. It's John that says he didn't break his legs. They thought he was dead already. It's John that says he bowed his head. I love that. No man taketh it from me. The Savior bowed his head and entered into death and died. His life wasn't taken. His life was given. His life was laid down. He cries, it's finished. And he bows his head. John noticed it. John Weston deliberately bowed his head. John says he bowed his head and died. Give up the ghost. Virtuous, vicarious, voluntary, victorious. Lovely hymn. Lovely hymn says, was it for me he bowed his head on that cross, freely shed? His precious blood, that crimson tide, was it for me the Savior died? And the answer comes back, it was for me. Yes, all for me. O love of God, so great, so free, O wondrous love, I shout and sing, he died for me, my Lord and King. There's one who has died in your stead. There's one who has paid redemption's price. There's one who's willing and able to save, but you're not saved tonight. You may be here tonight and you're not saved, and yet the way of salvation has been made possible. And as the salvation is vast and full and free through the precious blood of the Son of God who was slain on Calvary. You're not saved tonight. I began to say and tell of the picture of salvation. I remember thinking how those sheep were all together in one place. Two or three had gone into the fields and gathered them in. That reminded me of the evangelists and the gospel preachers. We gather people in. We attempt to gather people in that they'll hear the gospel. But that's all we can do. And then everybody that gathered them in, they were just standing like me watching. Because there's only one person who could remove the fleece. There's only one who had the expertise and the art to remove the fleece. And I couldn't help but think that there they were all clumped together in this pen, all these sheep. But in order for them to have this fleece removed, every one of them had to come out individually on their own. and to get down at the feet of one man who was able to remove that fleece. And that's how it is with salvation. You need to step out and you need to seek Him. You need to step out on your own individually. Nobody else can do it for you. And get to the feet of one. The only one who's able to forgive sins. The Good Shepherd. The only begotten Son. The one who died in your place. The one who paid your debt. He paid a debt he didn't owe. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. But tonight, sing redemption song. Amazing grace, where Jesus paid the debt I could never pay. You're not saved tonight. I can only think of one reason. You have only one excuse. You haven't came. Not that He won't save. Not that He won't save. It's your responsibility to seek the Lord. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You need to come. You need to get down at His feet. You need to recognize that He died in your stead. You come as a sinner to Jesus. You come to the one who can forgive you of every sin. Step out. Come.